Hello, and welcome to the Robert A. Heinlein Book Club. In each episode of this podcast, I look at one of the works of Robert A. Heinlein in chronological order of publication. Excuse me. And in this episode, I'll look at Time for the Stars, or at least this is technically the second part of Time for the Stars. I talked about the first half or so. But that's what I want to start with mentioning with you. I wonder if I've insisted on two episodes for each of these shorter Heinlein novels, if that's really necessary. I know my main line podcast, The American Writers, 100 Pages at a Time, is built around that. And that's why I think, well, 200-page Heinlein Juvenile, do two episodes on it. That makes sense. I'll have enough to talk about. And I wonder, like, I spend so much time, I've noticed this in the last few series, the last few novels I've looked at, you know, I kind of say the main point about the book in the first half, and then I just kind of leave some things out, and I pick it up in the second episode, and I don't have as much to say about it. Now, obviously, there are going to be Heinlein novels that do require more than one episode, maybe even three or four looking forward. I'm thinking, of course, of novels like Stranger in a Strange Land or The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. But there's also Double Star and the rest of the Juveniles, Starship Troopers. I think my point is I'm just going to play it by ear more. I think I'm not going to insist on two episodes per Juvenile or like Dorn to Summer. I can probably talk about that in one episode, I think. I don't know. Like Job, until I read that, some of these, I don't know. But some definitely will require more in-depth look. But something like this, like looking back at what I said last time, I think there's not much more to really say, except maybe some of the interesting plot points that come out emerge in the second half of the novel. So anyways, but as long as we're stuck with this format for this episode at least, let's go forth to the stars. So Time for the Stars is dealing with that special relativity twin paradox, which I sort of botched last time, but I corrected myself in that in relative terms, there's no difference between one twin going near the speed of light towards the stars and the other one staying on Earth. They're both relative to the other, like staying put, and the other one's moving away, right? It's essentially the same. So why is it that the one that goes out to the stars would be the one not to age and the one who stays on Earth would age? Why does time move slower to the one not moving, right? Because it's, and I think that's resolved. I think special relativity does explain that, because everything I've ever seen in science fiction, at least, works like this, that the one traveling towards the speed of light, time moves slower for them. And when they return, they'll find centuries have passed. So, but it deals with that. And that's an interesting idea, where when one twin returns, he's still a boy or still a young man, but his twin is now has a whole family, has three generations, has grandchildren, is an old man, and how they interact. That's the most interesting thing at the end of the book, is the interaction of these two characters as they, the one almost sees Pat, the older one, sees his twin as a boy and says, like, you're going to take over the family business, aren't you? And Tom's like, no, I have a plan for myself. I'm going to have my own life laid out for me. But he takes on the kind of Pat takes on that parental role because of his age. He just sees Tom as younger. And then how they grew apart over the course of the novel is really fascinating too, because they're supposed to communicate telepathically, instantaneously, for the communication between these ships. And that works out quite well. But as Pat gets older, Tom doesn't age as nearly as much. He has less in common. They have less in common with each other. They don't like talking to each other, but they still can. But instead, Tom spends more time talking to his nephews and nieces and those people, right? The younger generation who end up being closer to his age at the time, who he's still able to talk to in some way. But he sticks to that age group. He kind of grows apart from him. And this is very much a common experience people have. Like when they, I've talked about this before on the podcast in other contexts, but when you leave home to go to university, especially if you're from a small town like I'm from, a very parochial place, you go to college, you have access to bigger libraries. I mean, Richard Wright had this issue. It's talked about in Black Boy to a degree. You go out and you see a bigger world. You're taught things. You learn your old ideas were wrong. You learn maybe that your parents were wrong. And then you start to grow up yourself. You become more mature. And you return and you find you maybe have less to talk about with your family. You don't see your family in quite the same way. You don't have that kind of inborn awe of your family that you're sort of born with or develops through our early childhood. And you start to see their flaws and all that. And that's just a part of growing up. It's not just going to college. It's part of as you grow up and become your own person, you're able to look at your own parents more objectively. And there's going to be some separation, right, between them. That's good. I mean, that's part of how we become independent. I think these memes of, like, you know, busy parents who never have time to play catch with their kid, and then when they're older, it's the other way around, and they want to spend time with their son. I think that's not really how it works in reality, because you being a parent is that process of seeing them grow up and then letting go and cutting those ties. Now, obviously, you might miss them, but to somehow want them to still spend time with you is selfish, right? And parenting should not be that. Parenting should be an open-hearted thing. And ultimately about the well-being of the kid. Anyways, my whole point about this is just this separation, not making the heart grow fonder, but actually solidify being part of the growing up experience. Now, here it's a twin, but the fact that the older twin at the end takes on this parental role and a parental assumption is kind of making us think in these terms that Tom has gone on his adventure. He's gone on his hero's quest, if you will. He's become self-reliant. He's gone through challenges. He's faced death. He's saved lives. He has done something for humanity. He's helped humanity achieve its goals in the stars. And he comes back, and he wants something for himself. And that can't be defined by his family. So, anyways, I just found that interesting. I think that's a nice aspect of the book. So one thing we're looking for with these juveniles, of course, is a time where one of the characters gets stuck in the woods or lost in space or abandoned somewhere. Do we get that? Well, not really here. We do get a moment where they're on some planet and there's a nasty native species, and Tom's part of the group of people who survive that, and they have to be rescued. So, yes, Time for the Stars also has a slow plot like this. So this is number 10, and I think 9 of the stories, there's some boy lost in the woods plot point. But what at least he's not using that as the center of the novel, as the center action piece, like he did in his early juveniles, like in Rocket Ship Galileo, Between Planets, Red Planet, Farmer in the Sky. It's crucial to the climax of the novel. Here it's just one event of many. But it was in the last one too. Remember when they were lost, they had this wait out in the caves? He's just getting better at regurgitating this plot point. So that's some credit to Heinlein. But I notice, and if you read these once a year, you may not have noticed, but if you read them back to back, you notice that. Do I like these boys? Well, I think once again, other characters are more interesting. Throughout, like most of the other characters are more interesting than the boy. And that's not getting that much better. I think there's one or two exceptions, but I don't know why. Maybe it's just young boys are kind of boring. in like the 1950s. There were the traditional example of a young boy is just sort of, especially these hyper competent, annoying, go getter kind of boys. They're just sort of annoying. None of these guys are like Huck Finn. None of these guys are even a Tom Sawyer. They're just the guy, they got their slide rules out when they need it. They're that kind of nerdy kid. And I don't know. Heinlein's interested in this type of character, obviously. And I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe he sees himself in these boys. But I'm getting a little annoyed with them. Maybe I should just pull out Pote Kane for an alternative. I don't know. I guess we'll get to that soon enough. But I'm kind of, although I'm liking the juveniles thematically and in their structure and how the themes are developing and where they're going, I'm just kind of getting sick. Even in the cover, I got the cover in front of me, a photocopy of the cover of the original one, and it's got the spaceship and it's got the two twins, and I just want to like kind of punch them. They got this blonde hair and this kind of a contemptuous face, like they're looking down on me, and they're like know-it-alls, and it's like, yeah, I kind of want to strangle them a little bit. So I'm going to turn the page and turn it over. So is that enough? I guess. I think going forward, at least for Citizens, I think for at least a couple novels, for Double Star, Citizen of the Galaxy, Have Spaceship Will Travel, Have Spaceship Will Travel, Door into Summer. There's four relatively short Heinlein novels coming up in the next handful of episodes. And I think for these, I'm just going to do one episode unless I feel the real need to say more. Starship Troopers, we'll put a pin in that. Pote Kane, well, probably just one for Pote Kane too. That one's super short. But we'll see how Starship Troopers is, because there is stuff to talk around governing that. I mean, that's the Heinlein novel that everyone knows, and it's quote-unquote problematic. It's got its issues. I think that's a little bit overblown, but, you know, I'll know how I feel after I reread it. And I'm going to save these kind of multi-part episodes for the longer middle and late Heinlein novels, because certainly, like, Time Enough for Love, it might take three or four or even more to talk about, because it's so there's a lot of plot there. But maybe thematically they're boring and not that interesting. So it's kind of weird. Like, I think some of the early Heinlein novels, the ones that were serially published in Astounding, he was trying to do so much in some of them. And as he's maturing as a writer, he knows he's trying to do less. If you think back to, what's the one with the gun culture? What's it called again? Beyond This Horizon? There's like too much in that novel, which is ends up being just as long as one of these juveniles, I guess, 6-7 hours audiobook. But there's like the gun stuff, there's the genetic stuff, there's the evolution, there's there's some ecology stuff there going on. There's a lot packed into Beyond This Horizon, and that probably could have been fleshed out in a bigger novel. But I think some of these juveniles, especially the later ones, he's kind of toned down, like, trying to say too much, and instead focusing on, you'd like hope he focused on characters more, but he still has these same punchable, blonde, know-it-all, annoying boys that you want to kind of strangle. It's horrible to say this as a teacher, but I mean, I don't feel that way about the kids that I interact with, because they're not this way. These guys don't even really exist. It's just, yeah. Stop it with these Heinlein. I don't know. We'll see in the next one. We got two more of these coming up. But before we do Citizens of the Galaxy, I'm going to talk about Double Star, which is barely a science fiction novel, as I remember. The setting, the world building, science fiction, but it's just about a actor who takes over as the king or as the president or whatever. Maybe okay. I remember it relatively fondly. So then we'll do Citizens of the Galaxy and Door into Summer. And there might be a few more short stories coming up. We haven't done one in a while, but I think, yeah, Menace from Earth is coming up. All You Zombies. Man Who Traveled in Elephants, I think. or what's left for short stories. So we'll talk about those when they come up. But I have it all written out, so I'll know when it is. So anyways, that's my new plan going forward on some of these shorter books. Unless I feel the need, I'm not going to belabor the points. I'll just give you maybe a longer reflection on one of these books, rather than two shorter episodes. Okay, that's going to be it for now. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.